little bitty squares.
The little triangles.
Yeah.
And it won a prize over at which fair?
Hillsborough, it's a fair, county fair, $20.
Orange County Fair. It's a lovely, lovely quilt.
That quilt is about as old as I am.
But see, you talked to, that was made by your great-grandmother?
Great-grandmother, the McBride woman before she married.
Her name was Nancy McBride Armstrong. And she lived up in Surrey County. You lived with
her? Wilkes County.
She lived in Wilkes. Always. She died there?
No, she moved when my grandfather and I moved from Surrey. She died from Wilkes County. She died in Surrey. She lived with my grandfather and grandmother then.
When we were talking the other day, we talked about a church.
Swamp Creek.
That's what
Baptist Church.
What's the first word you're saying? Swamp?
Swan Creek.
Baptist Church.
That's next to the oldest church in the Bar Creek Association.
And that's up in Surrey or Wilkes?
Wilkes.
Okay. Is there a little village near there or something? Where's Jonesville?
That's right down the side of Swan Creek.
Okay, that's where it is.
Jonesville in Yadkin County, and Elkin is in Surrey County. The river is the line between Yadkin County and Surrey. But Wilkes County crosses the river and goes on up. It joins Yadkin, but it crosses the river and goes on up in the mountains. Okay. Rowan Gap. And it joins Ash County, Allegheny, and Watauga.
Okay.
Folks that buried there
at Swan Creek
is Armstrong, McBride, and Douthers, and Penniches, and Hudson, all related to the Armstrong, and Marses, and Haineses, and Sparks. You see, my great-grandmother had so many sisters, and McBride is buried there. She had three brothers. 2 years ago, I went up country, and we had a cousin lived up there at Ronda, and there's a bunch of goats up there, wild goats on Stone Mountain. He wanted us to go up there and see them goats. Well, we come down off the mountain and we stop at a little store. I was talking to a man around the store. I said, "Cap, did you know any McBride that used to live up here?" He said, "Yes, sir. See that mountain there?" He said, "Old man Ed McBride run a store there for as long as he lived, and then his son run it." And he said, "They still run it." He said, "You know I married a McBride." Well, I said, "Old man Ed McBride and my great-grandmother was brothers and sisters." He said, "What?" I said, "Yes, sir."
So you were cousins then?
His wife and them was. Uh-huh. Distant cousins.
You must be related to everybody up there, ain't you?
Right many of them. And the Craters and the Marses and Purdue's and Haineses. And Greens, Rumples, and Lord knows how many more. Grays.
Your daddy was Thomas Martin Armstrong.
Armstrong.
Your granddaddy was
Bynum Armstrong, or B.C. A lot of them call him B.C.
He have a middle name?
Bynum Curtis.
Curtis. B.C. And then his daddy was...
My granddaddy's daddy was named Tom.
Just Tom, not Tom.
And he died when he was 24 years old.
Okay, now what I want to do, you know the next step? You know who his daddy was?
My granddaddy?
Bynum was your granddaddy.
Yeah.
His daddy was Tom.
Yeah.
who was his daddy? Mm-hmm.
There
was a James up there, and there was a Rufus.
That was my grandfather's brother, James.
Oh, James was your grandfather?
Yeah.
Bynum's brother?
Yeah, he died with pneumonia when he was 34 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was thinking of some others. As I was looking through the records up there, I was trying to find, there were a bunch of other people with different names, and I didn't know which Armstrong would have been maybe the next generation back. Well, that's okay. Well, probably I can find that if I get that far back. I'm just following it up. I just thought maybe if you knew.
It might have been old man John Armstrong. I ain't gonna say. There was John and Kling and Sam and Cleve.
Who's Cleve? One of their sons?
He was, I believe he's Uncle John Armstrong's boy. And he had two boys, Earl and Eb, but they all dead. Me and Ray is the only two left of the Tom Armstrong set. And Ray ain't got no children, I ain't either, so the Tom Armstrong set is over with. Now, Daddy had one sister, and she married her uncle. And they were 10 of them children. We go up at Lake Hickory every year and have the Armstrong and Rumpel reunion, and I'm the oldest in the gang.
You do go every year?
I didn't go this year because I didn't feel too good. I had that dysentery, and I didn't go until I wasn't able. My brother and sister wouldn't go.
Where they hold that? Where they hold the?
At Lake Hickory.
There's a camp.
He's got two big cottages. They say he's a millionaire. He runs Rumpel furniture store in Elkins. Mm-hmm. He's got one or two cottages down at Myrtle Beach. And he said anytime you want to go down there, he leaves the key with a man and go stay a week. I said, Thomas, I think well of you. He's named after my daddy. I said, I think well of you and I love you to death, but I said, I'll never borrow your key to go to that. I said, I've made my last trip down there. I said, every time I go, it ain't a thing but a lake of water. I said, I ain't interested. I said, I go one in from Florida on up in Virginia, that's as far as I've been. I said, it all looks alike. I said, you can have your color. I appreciate it. I love you to death, but I ain't interested. I said 20 years ago, the last time I was down, I had my last trip. When I go to the mountains, you go up there, you see something different. You get out there in them little pig paths and them Indian trail and get up there. I like to get out there at Cherokee and walk up them valley and so on, talk to them old Cherokee Indians.
I never heard that term, pig paths.
Pig paths.
I never heard that before.
That mountain's so steep, you got little old paths to get to the houses and so on.
Yeah, just a little narrow.
Yeah, I have to. The river and the path and the mountain straight up there.
Let's see if there was anything else here. You don't have to stop talking. I was just looking here. Sometimes I put some notes. I said, why didn't I ask that question?
I believe there's some pickers buried up there in that cemetery there at June Bradshaw.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I believe there is, and I ain't going to be certain.
Well, I've got some forms and things. When I'm home, I do cemeteries. I'm the one that keeps track of all the cemeteries in the county, up in New York, my county. And I've got some forms where we keep the records of what's on the tombstone.
I bet you there's one in Orange County you ain't got no record of, and that's right up above the house there. Nobody knows whether they're slaves or what. There's 13 or 14 graves.
Up above your house?
Yeah, and Kears worked that land, and they plowed over them graves.
Can you show me where they are?
I'll show you where the place was.
Okay, we'll mark it. We'll just mark it off as having something. And I'll look on some old records and things.
They're nothing but straight, flat rocks, and some of them graves are sunk in that deep. They didn't know whether they're Indians, what they tell me, or slaves. They're 13 graves.
I'll have you, that's another thing we'll have to look. Well, we're going to have a big day when we go out, too. I'll pack a lunch, okay? I'll pack
and a lunch. Listen.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start soon if you get it all done.
I know. This is just up above your house, same side of the road?
No, it's across the road, right up on that knoll, up there at the edge of them woods.
Tears been plowing. They got that all plowed up.
Yeah.
Just recent. I mean, it's real fresh and muddy. It's
well, I tell you what. We'll have to go around the edge of the field to
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay. When I was down by the creek, a little white truck came along, an older truck, and he went real slow up by your house. And then while I was standing down on the bridge, I looked back up over the hill there, across from your house, where they got it plowed, that open field. And I could see the truck going along on a road. There must be a little dirt road or something goes back in there, because I could see that little truck going real slow way off along the edge, and I didn't think there was a road over there. Must be one along the edge of that field or something, because I seen that little truck go along real
well,
slow.
They made a road around. Did it go all around the edge of the field?
It
turned off at the curve up there and went around the edge of the field.
Yeah, I lost sight of it.
I bet you they were in there, they sold that timber, and I expect they were in there getting wood.
Oh, yeah, that probably was what they were.
Now, that other mill dam was right below that graveyard. I was telling you to come that fresh it and wash it away before they got it dirty.
Good. I'll bring my thing, and I'll draw out a little map, and we'll fill all this in as we walk around that day. Okay. 13 graves, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
When we were running that mill, that was the year my grandfather died, in 31. Come up off an electric storm, and we had four hogs out there at the old dam. I'd go out there to feed them, and lightning struck three of them and broke, had to kill one and broke the other, one of the other hind legs, didn't hurt two of them. And me and my daddy were working that mill away in the night, 9, 10 o'clock, and to turn that hog out, he could drag it, walk on front feet, and drag its hind part. And I went a many night in that cemetery at 9 or 10 o'clock and feed that hog out of a pan. He drug himself up to that cemetery.
He just stayed up in there. Was there anything around it?
Not a thing. Nothing but trees.
You think he was comfortable up in there because there were those ruts to lay in?
Well, he had just got that fur fine to get by, but you know, he got up and so he could walk.
After a while,
we fattened him and killed him.
Yeah.
But I hate to do it after I'm...
You get to where you're feeding him like that special instead of just letting him go. It gets hard to do.
I'm too tender-hearted for my own good.
January 16th, your birthday, huh?
That's right.
I knew it was January 1914, but...
14!
Yep. And Ray's...
Is 31, May 8th. And my sister, 1918, her 26.
Ray wasn't born until 1931. He's a lot younger.
I'm 27, 17 years older than Ray.
Right.
And I had a second cousin, was... 21 years older than his baby brother.
I thought he was, and he was born in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you still belong to Cane Creek Baptist Church, and you've never been married. I was just looking at some of the information I had on that life history.
Have you talked with Cecil and May?
Yeah, one of the girls went out twice. They went out there and sat and talked to them, more comfortable each time. Of course, we all went out there. They were the ones who first let us come as a group. We all sat on their front porch and talked because we didn't know anybody in Cane Creek then, and we just talked to them. That was part of the class we're taking was how to learn to do oral history interviews. And they were very nice and let us come out there.
Well, them coppers are good folks. Yeah. Me and my sister went here a while back, had flowers put on the graves, and Cecil come out from down there where they live, and we stood there and talked for a long time.
He's got
Crawford are good folks.
He's got a small cemetery out there too, right by his barn there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those people's name was Hodson or something. They had that mill, I think, up where
Ed Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the old Thompson and Sykes mill.
Yeah.
And then down below home, the old Marr mill.
Marr?
Yeah.
I had a map here that showed some of them, but I didn't. Marr, M-A-R-R? That was below yours?
Yeah, on the same creek.
Below it, before you get to 54?
Just before it gets to, goes into Hall River.
Oh, okay.
That Dr. Chapel Hill owns that and lives in it.
There it is, right there.
Dr. Dr. Summer.
Lives there now?
Yeah, lives in that mill house.
His name is Summer?
S-O-M-M-E-Y, I think. It's Summer, it's not Summer. They call him Summer.
Okay, Dr. Summer. That, on my map here, this is an old one. I was going back through and trying to, these are where the old roads used to go, you know, where they, see, I can tell where the road used to go, like up past your mill, and now it goes straight.
Around by the old mill house.
Yeah, and
by the old miller's house.
Yeah, these were older roads, and there is a mill down there. On my map, it was Webb and Morrow, it was called then. Somebody by the name of Webb and Morrow owned it. So I know that you're right. It's down. I forgot that one below you, and there was that. And then there's this one up here.
I never knew the first name. All I went by Mars Mill.
Let's see. This map was way before your time, 1891.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll throw some names at you. Of course, it says Pope Tier's Store, and of course you know who he was and where he was. But there's some other names on here. There's, here's Apple's Sawmill, and at that time, in 1890, somebody named Thompson, their first initial was D. I don't know what his name
was. Daniel Thompson. Daniel Thompson.
Daniel Thompson. Okay. And if that's somebody you want to talk to, you go right ahead. I'll just turn this off here, and I'll...
No, I've got company, Virgie. I'll call you back. There's my sister.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she called once or twice a day to see if I'm all right.
That's nice that somebody keeps track of you, right?
Well, they kept on. You're down there by yourself. You're about a half a mile, a mile from anybody, and you get bad off. And go ahead and set your price and sell this place to them. And get up there close to me and Ray. And that's what I've done.
Well,
there ain't but three of us, and there's one thing I've always said. Like I told my mom and dad, my mother wouldn't. That thing cut off.
Okay, you raised guinea hens?
Guinea, Lord, yeah, I had 140 some one time.
Now, they lay?
Lord, yeah, that's the best egg in, make the best cake, the richest cake you have ever seen.
When did you raise them, or how long, and why'd you stop?
Well, the foxes got so bad.
Fox. There a lot of fox around here?
Oh, good gosh, there was then. I sold a lot of them around there to people. And I had a band come there every week and buy them guinea eggs, take them to Durham, sell them 25 cents a dozen. But that is good meat, bet your life.
Guinea
hen. I have some guineas to buy. There wasn't such a little nice place up here. And chicken, have me a mule if I had any place to keep them. A pony. Once you raise up anything, you never get out of it.
I know. You get a real hankering for it once in a while.
Ain't nothing I love no better than old horse than you. Because when I was 8 years old, I'd have to get up every morning before I went to school and eat my breakfast. Go to the barn further from here. Well, I'd go from here over on the highway and feed them horses before I eat my breakfast and got ready. Young'uns used to have to work. And when we lived up that Mount Airy, I was about 7 years old. My job every evening, it took me to 12 o'clock at night to get that wood in and a bucket of chips, a pine, to kindle that fire. But Daddy, a lot of pine up there in that wood, that old spruce pine and white pine, knots. My dad and them go out and get them up, kindle the fire with, you know, when they get caught up with their work. And I had to get that kindling, and I had to get it, or I wish I had.
Yep. That makes...
We had to carry water up a steep, they'd call it a mountain down here. We called a hill up there, right straight up a hill. And I was 6 and 7 years old, and every time my daddy or grandmother, mama go to spring, I had 2 little gallon buckets, and I had to go get my water too. And my great grandmother would go, she had to carry it farther. We all used water out of the same spring, and it was a longer way up a steep hill where she had to carry. You don't know nothing about it. You ain't never seen them. I had these old cedar wooden water buckets with a brass band around them. Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Sure. I know what they are. I watched men making those things, how they fit those together and make them tight and put that thing in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she would take and hurry and up at 60 or 70 years old. And me and her go to that spring. You can leave it or leave it alone. She'd take 2 peck buckets and that wooden bucket. She'd set that wooden bucket on her head and carry them 2 peck buckets to the spring. She'd fill them up. She'd set that wooden bucket on top of her head. And her 69, 70 years old, and come up that hill with that wooden bucket sitting on and 2 buckets. And I'd try it, and my water would go down my back.
I wonder how she had that on her head. Did she put a wrap a rag on her head to balance it with?
No, sir. She just set it right up there on top.
Maybe
hair.
Her hair. Maybe her hair was up on her head.
That's right.
That helped to get it.
That's right.
See, you didn't have that.
No. She could carry it and laugh at me. Oh, I'd drown myself. She was a good old thing. Me and her had some good times. And the older you get, you wait till you get as old as I am. The things that happened then is a whole lot on my mind now, a whole lot clearer than things happened yesterday. And the older, I've heard folks talk that way. I thought that was impossible, but they know what they were talking about.
Good thing. I wouldn't have anybody to talk to about those things, because things just don't happen that way anymore. I get a hankering for it. I've had bits and pieces of it, because I've moved back away from the busyness of all of this and everything. I've had been lucky to meet some people who still maintain
those
things.
Well, have you ever been come in contact with anybody acting independent, didn't want to try to...
Like a hermit.
Yeah.
Stay back in. Yeah. Fellow by the name
of... This kind of work?
I wasn't doing this then. I was living in Lake Placid, and I met a man named... His name, he was French. He was Jacques Suzanne, and he was living near Lake Placid, New York, and he had some dogs. He was a painter. He was an old man even then. Lived...
Where is the devil wandering, wasn't
he? Way out in the...
He was a hermit.
So interesting. Yeah, he didn't mind if you came and just sat, you know, and it'd be long period of silence, you know. He didn't do a lot of talking, and then all of a sudden something would come into his mind, and he'd just talk about things. But he seemed real at peace with the world and at peace with himself. Yeah, he was very...
Well, had anybody through this section down there that...
I haven't yet. No,
I don't believe
it'd be pretty hard to be away from anybody around here. Everything's... closing in pretty fast. It's one of the fastest growing areas in the state.
Well, Orange County is growing the fastest, or they say, of our state, I mean county, in
Yeah. And, of course, Central North Carolina is growing faster than any other place in the country. Yeah. Just in the way of everything, boom city, I guess. I don't know. It bothers me. I can sure appreciate how it bothers you, having been here so long.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've got some good friends in Chapel Hill, but I'm going to tell you, the folks in Chapel Hill ain't... Now, they may have a college education, but you cut that thing off.
Let's see if I got any. Yeah, it's on. Okay. Yeah, all right. We were in 1918, and that flew.
I was 7 years old. My sister was 2 weeks old. My mother, now it's liquor in it, and I don't care. If it hadn't been liquor, my mother wouldn't have lived long as she did.
That's what those people said, that that's what one of the doctors recommended, was to get, and what you said tied right in with what those other people talked about.
Well, I was in one bed, and my mother and sister, she was 2 weeks old, in the other bed, across the other side of the fireplace, my father in the back room, down with it. Now, Dr. Wolf and my lady come out there every other day, and the family of Bemis live five or four of them here, the Rays over yonder, our closest neighbors. They three men lived all down with it, except old Miss Bemis. And the children, there were three children, two little girls and a boy. Mr. Mint Beamer was the Claude Beamer father. Mr. Claude and Mr. Mint lived, his son, they all lived in the same house. And these two little girls and this little boy were Mr. Claude Beamer's children. Well, they come through our yard 1 week, three quarts out of that family. I was laying in the bed. A week I couldn't hardly turn over, look out the window, and they come through the yard in a covered wagon and taken to the cemetery. Folk died so fast up there that there wasn't hardly enough people, able people, to bury. And Mr. Charlie Lee lived about half a mile from, they didn't have it. And he would come down there and bring the wood. God might tell him now not to come in. He'd bring the wood and lay it on the porch for my grandmother to keep a fire for it, and go to spring and bring up the water and sit on the porch. So Mama just kept it getting worse and worse. The doctor come, went to Bemis, that before they died, and they come up there to see them, and he always stopped when he come back to home. And he come back by our house, and he told my told our neighbors down the road, they won't know how the Armstrong Beamer was, the neighbors, but asked about us. He said, thought Beamer and his crowd was going to get well, but Tom Armstrong was going to die. He wouldn't take care of himself. But Daddy would get up and stir around a little bit in the house. But my grandmother waited on us, and Mama just kept it getting worse and worse. She didn't even know she in the world. Dr. Wills come and he said, Miss Armstrong, if there's anything in the world you know to do for dying, do it. Mr. Charlie Lee come get the wood in and the water. She said, Grandma stood in the door. She said, Charlie, the doctor said he's done all he can do for dying. He said, will you do something for me? Said, you get me a pint of good liquor. And I had got it. I like the bed death. They couldn't keep getting my nose to stop bleeding. I wake up every morning, and my grandma, what sleep she got,
Hold on just a second. Oh, gone up. I was right out at the end of that. Let me stick this little piece in here because I wanted to...